Welcome to the Sportscast, November 17th, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, X, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcast, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online radio. You can listen to us 24/7. Visit our website, thesportscast.net, for the latest news on sports. Also, follow us on X at thesportscast1 and check out our app, The Sportscast, for the iOS App Store. Today, we have a guest. I usually sometimes get guests where I see some posts on Facebook or on X or people that I know that talk about sports. Before I started the Sportscast, a few of our co-hosts, I knew them in person. For example, Jeff Favre, who's usually on our Friday show, I knew him back at Liberty University where I went to college, and we would talk sports like we were having a sports show, but an unofficial sports show, and also some other co-hosts. Today, I have Dan Madden. We actually went to Regent University. I believe we did. I don't know how we became friends. I don't remember. But if you see his Facebook post, he has some good analytical view of the game, but to and specifically the NFL and the Cleveland Browns. And we have him here today. Dan Madden, welcome to the Sportscast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Real excited. Crazy how Facebook brings people together. And, we met for my time in Virginia Beach and we were in school there and, reconnected on there. And sports brings everybody together. So I go on Facebook with my Browns rants mid-game. So, it's just been life of a Browns fan, you know.
Yeah, and that's one of the big stuff that I like about doing this is sports. It brings people together. I don't like to put politics in sports. I don't like to put any type of controversial issues. I just want to stick to sports. Look at the stats. Look at the analytics. But before we begin, Dan, tell us a little bit about yourself and your love with the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, so born and raised in Youngstown, Ohio, Northeast Ohio, in the funeral business here. And, I have a funeral home here in Northeast Ohio, coming back to did a stint in Virginia Beach a few years, but born and raised orange and brown. Remember the days growing up, it's just been a struggle for years. Going back to the 1987 game, the fumble known here in Northeast Ohio, AFC Championship game, lost that. I remember locking myself in my closet and crying and. It really haven't been much better, being a Browns fan and, just constantly, players leaving and just not getting the management there. This year, you got a great defense coming in. I think it's, going to be a new story with Chubb and Watson back, a healthy spent $235 million on this guy. Wasn't real happy with the pick from the beginning. Guaranteed money, and those just aren't a good idea. And obviously, we're seeing that, from a big gut punch. I mean, it really wasn't a gut punch. First half of that game, I went on Facebook just bashing Watson because he just looked awful, like he pretty much has all year. And all of a sudden, I mean, he's 6 for 20 in the first half with a pick. And then he goes out and he looks like the old Watson again, 14 for 14, wins the game. And, you're excited. We got a good defense. The running backs are stepping up after Chubb went out. And, it was a gut punch. I was on my way to Cleveland. I had sports radio on and I'm listening and they say breaking news. And I'm like, okay, his ankle is healing. He's going to play. And Deshaun Watson out for the year. And I mean, I almost went off the interstate. I was like, are you kidding me right now? Like, he actually looked good. You're thinking, maybe this is the new him. And it was just devastating. What's bizarre about it, I mean, you hear that it was the ankle and he broke his shoulder and a bone in his shoulder.
He's the bone in his shoulder, right?
Yeah. And they said it happened in the first half. Well, he was 6-for-20 in the first half, and in the second half, he's 14-for-14. So how do you do all that with a broken shoulder is beyond me. So the whole thing just been bizarre this year. Is playing, isn't playing. So you don't know what to believe, you know.
So let's retrace back what happened, how this all started. The Browns acquired Watson about a year and a half ago from the Houston Texans in exchange for first-round picks in 2022, 23, and 24, along with a 2023 third-round pick and a 2024 fourth-round pick. The Texans also sent the Browns a 2024 fifth-round pick. And obviously, all this whole issue with the injuries. Now, when this trade first happened, Dan, let me first hear your first perspective. Were you excited about the trade, or you were pretty pessimistic about it?
No, I was pessimistic. I mean, the Browns haven't gotten a quarterback right ever. You know, we're on what, our 37th starting quarterback. So this was no different. You know, it was like, you know, this guy has a lot of baggage he's bringing in. He hasn't played in a couple of years. You know, what's he going to be like? He's suspended, you know, for, you know, pretty much the whole year. You know, it wasn't good. And obviously we're seeing that now. You know, we gave a lot up for him. Houston, I mean, it's benefiting that with their picks and the way Stroud's playing right now. They got their franchise quarterback, and the Browns are still trying to find theirs. So really wasn't happy. Everything, you know, felt like we should have stuck with Baker with the offensive line in place. And obviously we're seeing how Baker's playing with a different team. That's kind of usual for the Browns players. They go and end up being stars, similar to what we're seeing now with Dobbs, who's playing like a Pro Bowl player. The Browns had him in their locker room. Didn't think they should get rid of him. And boy, we can use him right now instead of playing a rookie DTR this week for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Josh Dobbs have been performing well this season with the Cardinals and the Vikings so far. You mentioned like the past quarterbacks, obviously, with Baker Mayfield. What happened with Baker? I thought he was a promise in Cleveland. You sound like they should have kept him. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. I mean, you look back on I was discouraged with him too. But I think he had some upside to him. I think, you know, probably should have gave him another year, you know, with pieces coming in and sticking with him and see how he did with, you know, another year under his belt. I think they jumped the gun and to give up all that for him. I think that was definitely a mistake. I put on Facebook this was the biggest heist in history, and I think it's going to go back as one of the worst deals in the history of sports, for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely looking back at the Browns. We'll see what happens. I do want to mention one guy, Johnny Manziel, also another quarterback that was a bust.
Yeah.
Quick opinion on that one. I want to hear it before we go on to the next.
Yeah, game. Johnny Football. I mean, I don't know. I really wasn't happy with that pick either. You know, he had some good games, so some flashes, but obviously his issues off the field and, you know, his partying lifestyle, obviously we saw how that turned out, not in the league anymore. So I think maybe if he had a little more in with the team and studying film rather than partying all the time and going to Vegas in midseason, I think it may have been a little different for sure.
Yeah, and then he went to the CFL afterwards and then smaller leagues. Looking at the past quarterbacks, you guys had one heck of a roster for quarterbacks. We had Vinny Testaverde, yeah, Colt McCoy in the past, Brian Hoyer, Brady Quinn, which he was not much of like an NFL quarterback, Trent Dilfer, Jacoby Brissett, Josh McCown, Jeff Garcia. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, there's actually it's kind of funny on online. You see all these jerseys and people just put duct tape on the next name down that like goes all the way down like to your feet. I mean, my son, he's three, and it was Browns Day at school today. So the only jersey I had was a Colt McCoy jersey. So he rocked that today. You just can't keep up. You'd be buying a jersey like every other month trying to get the starting quarterback for the Browns wearing, you know.
We'll see what happens with the Cleveland Browns. Of course, the only championship in the past 20, 30 years has been the Cleveland Cavaliers with LeBron James back in 2015. maybe the Browns can change the steer the ship. But now with the Watson contract, you guys can't do anything until 2027, right?
Yeah. We got, three more years on it. So they're stuck with them. I mean, they sold their soul. So they're going to have to rock this out and see what happens. But I mean, with a shoulder injury that you don't see too much in football, it'll be interesting. I mean, he's going to have to go through this surgery and rehab. I mean, he was barely getting to be the old Watson. Now he thought maybe he saw glimpses in the second half last week, but now he's got to rehab and do it all over again. And then we're going to be sitting here 5 weeks. Oh, is Watson going to get back? And, you know, the groove of things. And I just don't see how he's going to be able to get to the level that we paid him for. I really don't. I hope we do, but you know, who knows? I mean, I saw this morning that we're trying to bring Flacco in for a
that's right. He tried out this morning.
Yeah, he's trying out. So we'll see. They're trying to add a veteran in the room. If DTR doesn't do good this week, you know, we'll see. But they're saying with a full rep of practice, you know, DTR looked horrible against the Ravens, just kind of getting thrown in there the last start or last time he played. So with the full week, we'll see. I mean, maybe, you know, it's going to be a game plan, a heavy run, play keep away, put him in good spots, and maybe he'll be able to. With that Browns defense, I mean, if they just don't turn the ball over, they can beat anybody. I mean, their defense is top tier, so it should be a great game for sure.
Yeah, and there has been – well, now the starting quarterback is P.J. Walker. There has been some glimpses of him.
I think they came out they're going with DTR. The rookie.
No way.
Yeah, that just came out. Savansky, I listened to his press conference, and they're going with him. He said that he just felt like he wanted to get him a chance with a full week of practice, and that's what they're doing. So I'm happy. I mean, we kind of saw what P.J. Walker is. You know what he is. He's been turned the ball over quite a bit. I think they want to give a rookie a chance to see if he can shine, and who knows, maybe he's going to be the next guy if Watson doesn't, you know, come through. But time will tell.
You never know with these rookies what they're in store, but they're seeing something in practice that will make him a starter over PJ Walker, who I thought did okay these past couple of weeks, but obviously the coaching staff knows more than I do, and they get paid more than I do. So let's go Thursday night football. Last night the Ravens improved to 7-3. Defeated the Cincinnati Bengals 35-20. The Ravens' first drive went almost perfect. It ended on a Gus Edwards touchdown, but they lost Mark Andrews, Dan, for the rest of the night and possibly longer. And Cincinnati also, they lost Joe Burrow to a wrist injury that could be season threatening. Your thoughts over last night's game?
Yeah, so I mean that was wild. I mean, the Bengals are in big trouble. I mean, with this injury, I think they're out of the hunt in the AFC North right now. I think it's going to be the Browns and the Bengals right now, the Ravens. With that injury, not knowing how significant it is for Burrow, and even with them, I mean, they just haven't been playing their best football. You know, they're kind of streaky, and with that injury. And they could be in some trouble. I've been seeing on, you know, that they knew about this injury because there's film going in with him with a brace on his throwing hand or his that he injured. So they could be having some issues there. And then talking about Andrews, I mean, he's a big target, somebody was thrown to a lot. So that could affect. Someone else might have to step up there. So it just kind of throws a curveball in this tough AFC North right now. It could go anywhere, but I really think it's the Ravens and the Browns that are going to be going at it for sure.
Oh, wow. You mentioned the Browns. No bias there, right?
No, not at all. No bias. No bias.
Yeah. But the Ravens have been having an interesting season. They lost against the Browns, obviously, this past Sunday. Huge win. And then the loss against the Colts, obviously with the rookie Richardson. So the Ravens aren't they're not guaranteed to win in Baltimore. That's what I'm trying to say. So this Ravens team needs to close some holes as well, just to, you know, haze the Eagles in the future or the San Francisco
They got a tough schedule, more tough than the Browns. I mean, I was looking at the Browns. I mean, they have some winnable games. They get past this game. They got the Broncos, the Rams, the Jags, Bears, Texans, and then they finish it up with Bengals. So realistically, I mean, if the Browns just don't turn the ball over with the defense, I mean, they could get 10, 11 wins and be in. The schedule is definitely easier for the Browns than the Ravens, for sure.
Definitely. So we'll be definitely monitoring what's going on in the AFC, also the NFC as well. So looking forward to what's going to happen next couple of weeks. Dan, are you ready to preview NFL Week 11?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. The first game, I had to pick it, Pittsburgh at Cleveland. Cleveland's Myles Garrett is tied for the first in the NFL with 11 sacks, while Pittsburgh's T.J. Watt is just behind him with 10.5. Garrett and Watt have been as impactful as any of the defensive players in the league this season, and their meeting would have been a bearing on the defensive player of the year conversation. What's going to happen in Cleveland, Dan? Pittsburgh at the Browns.
Yeah, well, a little biased here, but I just think the Browns are going to ground and pound. I think they're going to have a game plan to put their quarterback in a good spot. They're going to win. It's going to be a defensive game, but I think the Browns pull away with this one at home.
There you have it, with the rookie quarterback.
That's right.
All right, let's go. Raiders at the Dolphins. Raiders own the NFL's fourth worst run defense. Dan, if you did not know about that, allowed 135.6 yards per game on the ground, while Miami's run game has dipped a bit over his past four games. It averages 185 rushing yards per game when Devon Achane is active, and he's slated to make his return from injury reserve Sunday. If he's playing, it could make things interesting for an otherwise stout Raiders defense. Miami's coming off a bye after playing against Kansas City in Germany. What's going to happen? Raiders has an interim coach who is 2-0. What's going to happen in Miami?
Yeah, so I think the cigar-smoking Raiders is going to stop this this year or this week. They're not going to be able to score, keep up with the offense from Miami. They looked slow-scoring game the last game for the Raiders, and they just didn't look like they could put a lot of points on the board. So I think Miami wins.
I'm a Miami fan, so I would not mind if you pick Las Vegas, but, you know, it is what it is. The Lions are returning home, Dan, to host their divisional rivals with an opportunity to hit their best 10-game mark since 1962. The Bears quarterback Justin Fields will look to spoil their plans as he returns after missing the past four games with a dislocated right thumb, and he'll look to break the Lions' streak of six consecutive divisional victories dating back to last season, which is their longest streak since the 1970 merger. Who do you have, the Bears at the Lions?
I like the Lions. They got a new look, like McAfee likes to say, the brand new Lions. I mean, they look real good. They were the consolation for the worst franchise, as opposed to like the Browns. But they're turning a new leaf, and they're on the upswing. So I like the Lions in this one.
That's what the Cleveland Browns need, that spirit of the Detroit Lions. Turn things around.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
This game could come down to which offensive line holds up better and protects the quarterback. Titans rookie quarterback Will Levis has been sacked 10 times, Dan, in three games. That's a lot. And Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence has been sacked 24, which is three shy of his 22 total. DeNico Autry, Arden Key, and Jeffrey Simmons have accounted for 13 of the Titans' 24 sacks, while Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker have accounted for 12.5 of Jaguars' 18. Titans visit at Jacksonville against the Jaguars. I thought Jacksonville will protect home field last weekend when they played San Francisco. That was not the case. Will they rebound, or the Titans surprise Jacksonville in Jacksonville?
Yeah, it might come down to who gets sacked the least, right?
But, pretty much.
No, I like I think Lawrence, you know, he's been struggling a little bit. I think he has a bounce-back game, and I think they pull that out.
Jaguars win. I like this team a lot, but they need to close it up a bit with the sacks. Justin Herbert, 6th overall, and Jordan Love, 26, were the third and fourth quarterbacks taken in the first round of the 2020 draft, with Dan really remembers that draft. Herbert has 58 starts under his belt after taking over in week two of his rookie year, which, while Love is making just his 11th career start, the Chargers were 6-9 with Herbert as a starter during his rookie year and their 29-29 overall in regular season games that has started. Love appears headed towards a similar first-year round record as a starter unless the Packers can turn things around beginning with this game because of what's ahead at Detroit Thanksgiving next Thursday. Chargers at the Packers. Who do you have in Green Bay? Should be cold. So
I think this is a huge game for the Chargers. I think Haley's definitely playing for his job. So must win really for both teams. But I think the Chargers win this one. Better quarterback overall. Not a Love's not lighting the world on fire. Not a real Love story going on there. Taylor Swift plug there, but. So I like the Chargers.
Are you a Swiftie, Dan?
Somewhat. Yeah. My wife says I have a bit of issue following this whole story. So, yeah.
And also, by the way, here at the Sportscast, not many of us are fans of Brandon Staley. What's your take on him? Is he one of the worst coaches or like, what are you, what's your take on
him? I think he was a little overrated, but I think he's definitely on the hot seat here. That's why they need to win. And even that might not be able to save his job come year end for sure.
Texans coach DeMeco Ryans is familiar with the Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray, who came back last week and who won on his first day back from his days as the 49ers defensive coordinator from 2021 to 2022. Ryans faced Murray only once in their four potential matches due to the former number one pick being injured. But in their lone matchup in 2021, that was 2 years ago, Dan, Murray led the Cardinals to a 17-10 win and had 239 yards, passing yards, with a touchdown and no turnovers. C.J. Stroud went into Cincinnati, won it. Very calm quarterback, as DeMeco Ryans said. I like this Texans team. I like C.J. Stroud. Cardinals are looking good with Murray back. This might be a good game. Who do you have?
Yeah, no, it's going to be a great game. I'm interested to see it. Just the matchup with Murray, who's come back. He looked good last week. Stroud, though, is just he's definitely going to win the Rookie of the Year. I mean, I'm from Ohio, and there really hasn't been an Ohio State quarterback that's done anything. But Stroud, it looks remarkable. And honestly, I think Murray needs a few more reps coming back, and I like Stroud in this one with the head-to-head, and I think they're going to pull it off Houston.
That's right. CJ Stroud, Ohio State Buckeye alum, looking pretty good. Do you think he should be a MVP contender, or, hey, he's too young for that?
He could be in the mix. I would think he would be a good candidate. I don't think he wins it. But he definitely has a possibility, sure.
A week ago, Cowboys called the Giants game a scrimmage. This time they're going to Carolina to face the Panthers, who are only have one win. This is a mismatch at every level, actually. Yeah. The Cowboys rank 4th-9 and 4th in points allowed, 18.3 per game, Dan, and 3rd in total defense. The Panthers rank 29th in scoring and 30th in total offense. Coach Frank Reich just took the play-calling duties away from the offensive coordinator, so this could be very pivotal. Thomas Brown, 3 games after giving them to him, so there's unrest there. There's confusion in Carolina, Dan. Defensively, it's almost as bad, though the Panthers have held opponents to an average of 18.7 points in the past 3 games. The 10.5 points Dallas is favored by most be too low. Last night in our Jersey Boys Sports Talk, they said the Cowboys are the 3rd best team in the NFC. Dan, who do you have, Cowboys at Carolina?
Well, another scrimmage for the Cowboys here. They would definitely win big. Carolina is just bad right now.
How bad?
Real bad. You know, I they're almost – it's between them and the Giants right now. you know, it's I don't know. I think they're probably regretting not taking Stroud. Let's just say that.
True. A lot of regrets there. And I don't think Bryce Young is an NFL quarterback.
No.
I don't think so. But we'll see.
Yep.
We'll see what happens. Anyways, another interesting game. The G-Men are going to visit the Commanders. Brian Daboll says he trusts Danny DeVito because he has no one else to trust in that squad because there's no other quarterbacks. The G-Men are also out with key players, including their quarterback and best offensive lineman. In addition, their roster isn't excellent, so the depth is not there to win. New York has lost 36, 49, 17 in the last two games with Tommy DeVito. The Commanders, who almost beat the Seahawks a week ago, Dan, by only 3 points. They're away 3 points shy, but it was a loss. Are at home. They got rid of Chase Young a few weeks ago. So what's going to happen? I think the Giants have a good record against the Commanders, but this might be different this time around.
Yeah, I like the Commanders. Giants aren't a good football team right now. Got the quarterback off the street and trying to throw him in there. And I don't see this being close.
Yep, we'll see what happens. I will pick Washington if I was in Dan's shoes as well. Buccaneers at the Niners. San Francisco Brock Purdy made his first start against the Bucs last year and now begins his second spin through the league with another game against Tampa. Both of these teams have thrived in the turnover battle as they're tied for third in the league in turnover margin. But this game might come down to whether the Bucs can continue their defensive red zone dominance. Tampa Bay is first in the league in keeping teams out of the end zone when they get inside the 20, while the Niners are sixth in scoring in the red zone, but have struggled recently in scoring touchdowns on just 40% of their red zone trips in their past three games. This looks like the Bucs looks good in this, but I think the Niners. Dan, who do you have winning?
Niners looked real good last week. I mean, they got their weapons back now. It's amazing with Debo Samuel, McCaffrey, and Williams back. I mean, it seems like the Purdy's a lot more comfortable with them in the lineup. They're able to do different things. I think this will be close, but I think the Niners will win.
Don't forget about Chase Young and Nick Bosa on the defense.
Yeah, true. Yeah, the new additions. Yep, for sure. Yep.
That will definitely do it. Joe Brady's first game as interim offensive coordinator will come with quite the challenge against a Jets defense that held Buffalo to 16 points in week one and forced three quarterback Josh Allen interceptions and a fumble. How the Bills' offensive looks under Brady and going against a defense that allows the third fewest yards per play in the league, 4.6, will go a long way in determining the outcome of this game. The Bills had a bad game this past weekend, Dan. You probably saw this game. Jets?
Oh, yeah.
They could hang on with the Bills. Who do you got in Buffalo?
Yeah, so if Buffalo loses this game, I mean, the Bills Mafia is just, I mean, they're not going to know what to do with themselves. They're in rough form right now. But I think they will have a bounce back game. I think they'll get it together, rally the troops with the new offensive coordinator, and get a win.
There you have it. Bills bounce back. I will pick the Jets. If I had to pick up.
Going Jets. There you go.
I'm going Jets. I feel confident with them. So we'll see what happens. The games have to be played. So we got to see what happens in Buffalo. The Seahawks had a good game. The only one who won 3 points last week against the Commanders. Matthew Stafford is expected to play for the Rams this weekend, Dan, if you did not hear the news. After injuring his right thumb, they did have Carson Wentz. They did sign Carson Wentz just in case. The Rams offense managed just 187 yards in their loss to the Packers without Stafford, and the team has lost three in a row. Stafford will face a Seahawks defense that is allowing 354.3 yards per game, 25th in the NFL. What's going to happen at SoFi?
So without Stafford, I would have had the Seahawks, but he kind of obviously boosted their roster a little bit. I think him coming back, they're going to end their three-game losing streak. They need to get back on track, and I think they'll do that Sunday.
There you have it. He picks the Rams. I think you're so right. So if you're saying if Carson Wentz started, you would have picked the Seahawks.
Yes.
There you have it. Okay. Sunday Night Football, Josh Dobbs and the Vikings at the hot Broncos, who beat the top two teams in the NFL, the Chiefs, and they beat the Chiefs and the Bills. Well, Bills, I'm not sure if they're a top team anymore. Josh Dobbs has been a lifeguard for the Vikings, probably one of the best trades this season since Kirk Cousins' injury. He has two wins in Minnesota's current five-game winning streak. Dan, if you did not know that, he already has a game-winning drive on his brief resume, and he has thrown three touchdown passes without an interception. The Broncos, they're in the first three-game winning streak since 2021. That's 2 years ago, including wins over the Chiefs and Bills in the past 2 weeks and nine takeaways in those two games, more than they had in the first seven games combined. If Denver wins, Dan, the takeaway battle in this one, it could have its first four-game winning streak since 2016. I think that's when Peyton Manning played. What's going to happen in Denver?
Yeah, so Russell Wilson's looking a lot better, getting to his old form a little bit. But the story of Dawes has been unreal. I mean, this guy didn't even know where the locker room was or the players that he was playing with. And sad he's not a Brown, but he's doing his thing there in Vikings. And he's playing at a Pro Bowl level right now. I think that continues, and I think they get the win, the Vikings.
The Vikings win. I picked Denver.
Nice. Well, should be a good game.
I mean, Broncos have been winning ugly, so they don't win by dominance or anything, but they're going to win by 2-3 points, maybe possibly by a safety or a field goal. So we'll see what happens. Here's a bonus prediction game. I usually don't predict Monday night games on a Friday, but this game is too big to skip over.
Yeah.
A potential Super Bowl rematch, Eagles at the Chiefs. Who do you have?
Yeah, so there's rumblings that Taylor Swift's going to be at that game. She's going to supposedly fly from Argentina from the Sunday night show, and her parents are going to meet his parents. So if you know anything about it, that everyone in Chiefs land thinks that she's a good luck charm. So with her there, I got a slight edge with the Chiefs. But we'll see if Kelce can catch. He might have jet lag because he was in Argentina last weekend. So it'll be interesting how that dynamic goes, for sure.
Interesting. So you're saying Taylor Swift is undefeated with the Chiefs when she's at the stadium.
The game, yeah.
Interesting. Yep. I'll definitely keep that in mind. Maybe the Chiefs can help her out with her flight back to Argentina, if that's the case. There you have it, Week 11 preview. A lot of good games. I'm looking at that Houston game. I think that Houston game is probably one of my favorites besides the Philadelphia and Kansas City. But I think Cardinals at Texans might be a bigger game than we think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's going to be a big game. That quarterback matchup, it's going to be interesting to see that for sure.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. Question of the day, random question of the day, which you can find on our Twitter poll, X poll. What goes best with butter? Options are, Dan, bread, potatoes, pancakes, pasta, or steak.
I like bread.
Me too. Toasted with butter.
Yep, that's right.
Melted.
That's it.
There you have it. Yep. Bread is actually winning, Dan, on our Twitter poll. It's at 50%. Potatoes and pancakes are tied at 20. Pasta is at 10%. So bread's winning. I think bread makes the most sense. But you could go ahead and vote on our Twitter, which is the Sportscast One. Dan, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about the Browns and their future in 2028?
Yeah, so you can reach me on X. It's actually Danimal. That was my nickname growing up, 2478. Facebook, just search Dan Madden. So hopefully we've got a lot to talk about this week, and go Browns.
There you go, bro. Browns. Go to his Facebook. He talks more than more than the Browns. Yeah. We didn't get to the NFL refs yet, Dan.
Oh, awful. Awful. I don't, it's bad. I mean, it's just a lot of missed calls, a lot of pass interference misses. It's worse even in college. Pros, I mean, it's just been bad. It seems to be getting worse. Just end of the games, deciding on a ref, it just shouldn't be.
You know, there's a correlation, or there's talks about that the refs, and now that gambling's been not legalized, but partnered with the NFL, there's a correlation there.
Yeah, you know, I know McAfee talks a lot about it. You know, we need to investigate, you know, these refs and, you know, who's putting wagers with their family and this and that, because there's just been too many questionable calls to decide a game that could swim one way or the other. So, yeah, it definitely holds a whole new level when you're dealing with gambling, for sure.
Yeah, a lot going on. The NBA has a partnership with gambling as well, so we'll see what happens. You can reach us at the Sportscast One or the Sportscast.net. We write articles about what's happening in sports and gambling sometimes. So definitely keep an eye out on that. And great week of shows this weekend. A lot going on with college football. I think it's championship weekend. You're a Youngstown State fan or you're an Ohio State fan?
Youngstown State, that's where I live. But I'm more of a Notre Dame guy. That's tough here in Northeast Ohio because I got to deal with the Buckeye fans all the time. And after that game this year where, you know, we can't count to, you know, have enough guys on the field and have that game won. And so I was kind of heartbroken there early on. And then the season just unfolded from there for Notre Dame guys. So.
Notre Dame, always without a conference.
That's it. Yep. Yeah.
Well, Dan, thanks for coming on the Sportscast. Yeah, sure. I hope to see you in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a blast. All right. Take care.
And this was your update.